You've probably heard every back pain solution out there, but did you know it's actually possible to heal your own spine and discs? Disc problems are the leading cause of back pain, and the Uprightly program was built specifically to address them. Instead of masking symptoms or relying on invasive procedures, Uprightly uses science-based spine restoration methods that help you rebuild a healthier spine. And the best part? It's something you do right at home. Your Uprightly coach guides you every step of the way, and they provide the specialized equipment you need to restore your spine, protect it from re-injury, and measure your progress. Many people notice pain improvement in just a few days, but temporary relief isn't the goal. The Uprightly program helps you build a stronger spine for life. And here's something amazing. Many patients even reclaim lost height, with some restoring more than 3 inches. So if you're ready to truly invest in your spine health, Uprightly is the solution you've been waiting for. Learn more at liveuprightly.com. That's liveuprightly.com.
Today on the Music City Audible, we got an update over the weekend on Cam Ward's health and the status and recovery timeline of his shoulder injury we're going to talk about. Plus, last week, Brian Daboll and Gus Bradley were introduced as the coordinators for this year's Titans team. And an interesting billboard might be hinting at something Titans-related announcement to come soon. We're hitting all that today. This is the Music City Audible. Let's get to it. Welcome everyone to another episode of the Music City Audible, a Tennessee Titans podcast. I'm your host, Justin Graver, full-time NFL podcast producer for Odyssey. And joining me, as always, my co-host with a new gig that he's about to announce to all of you and tell you all about, the Yada Yada King, Justin Mello. How's it going today, Justin? We wanted to hit this last week. My schedule was a little messed up. You announced it on social media, but for all our podcast listeners who aren't on the socials, what's going on with your career, bud?
Yeah, I am leading a new venture over on Sports Illustrated, an NFL draft website launched by the OnSI team. So really glad to be joining that umbrella, if you will. Feel honored, you know, to be joining such a illustrious brand. And you know, Connor Orr, your buddy, tweeted about it, and we've made a lot of rounds on Twitter. We've got some great pieces up right now. One hit a gem to watch for all 32 teams at the Combine. Dropped my first mock draft. After the applause kicked in.
Round of applause for you. Congratulations. A little round of applause.
Please go visit the site. Check it out. It is si.com/NFL/draft/OnSI. So it is NFL draft on Sports Illustrated. Really excited, man. Really excited about that venture. Love the NFL draft. And, they kind of reached out to me and just pumped about what we've got going on over there.
So I will now be introducing Justin at the start of these episodes as the publisher for NFL Draft on SI, in addition to writing the beautiful book, Titans of the South. Justin, we got a lot to talk about today. It's been a while since we did like what I would call a traditional episode of Music City Audible. Had all those free agent profiles last week. We'll continue hitting the free agent conversation. Might change up the format a little bit, start hitting multiple guys in one episode covering full position groups. But that's not today's focus. Today's focus, we're talking about an update we got over the weekend about Cam Ward's shoulder. We're going to talk about the Titans' new coordinators and, of course, this mysterious billboard and what it might all mean. We'll close the show with that today. But starting us off, let's listen to Cameron Wolf, former Titans beat writer, Wolf, now NFL Network national reporter, with a little update on where Cam Ward is at in his recovery.
Cam Ward is recovering well from his right shoulder AC sprain. I'm told he worked with his quarterback coach, Darrell Colbert Jr., this past week, working on lower body work. They haven't thrown the ball yet. The plan is for March, in about 2 or 3 weeks, for him to resume throwing the ball. Colbert said they're working on his base, he told me, to try to get back from some of the bad habits he picked up last year with some of the struggles they had offensively, some of the pressure he had on. They want to get his feet back right, get that base right for when he can throw.
So the big update there, 2 to 3 weeks away from throwing again, not throwing yet, but recovering well, progressing well. We've all seen, probably, if you haven't, I'll tell you, we've all seen though, Cam Ward out and about various like public events, Miami's run through the college football playoff. He was at the NBA All-Star weekend there to like just take in the festivities. And he was on the red carpet before the celebrity game talking about, you know, his favorite basketball, like Kobe mentality and stuff, all that kind of stuff. And he's never had a sling on in any of these public outings. So we always kind of assume that things are progressing well. Now we know for certain where he's at, thanks to this reporting by Cameron Wolf, working on his base, all the things that we said that he could be working on even without the ability to throw yet, working on his footwork. And that's a great update. And there was one other little nugget, Justin, that I'll let you comment on that and then we'll get to, but that they're working to undo some of the bad habits that he might have picked up last season. And that's an interesting one.
Well, this is terrific news because number one, resume throwing in 2-3 weeks. Internally, we're probably not going to hear about this. We will if it goes well, I guess. But internally, I think that'll give them a really good indication of where his arm's at, where the shoulder's at, what the injury's at. Are you generating the same velocity that you were generating before? Are there any lingering issues? I would assume that both he and his quarterback's coach will be able to judge that, you know, once he's throwing the football. So that's really, really important for him, and of course, the Tennessee Titans as well. But the last nugget that you just mentioned, I mean, listen, every time we got on here after a game and talked about a lackluster Cam Ward performance, one of the worst Cam Ward games of the season, I don't know how many times we mentioned lower body mechanics, bad habits, sloppy footwork. Maybe he didn't turn over the ball a ton as a rookie, but when he did, sloppy footwork, rush decisions, not setting his base, poor ball security, all things that fall under the bad habits category. And certainly early on in the season, especially, they were giving up a ton of pressure. He was the most sacked quarterback in the NFL for quite some time. Unsurprisingly, develop some bad habits when you're under that much pressure. Now, specifically notable that was during the beginning of the season when you are just establishing habits, period. If you don't have an opportunity to establish good habits, you're establishing bad habits. Now, they got a lot better in pass protection as the year went on. You and I have talked about that a lot. Barely got sacked towards the end of the season. A bunch of games where there were zero sacks or one sack. The Browns, I think it was just one sack. The Myles Garrett one. They had a couple games where they gave up zero sacks. So you love the progress that they made. But unfortunately, when that starts happening in week 12, 13, 14, you've already developed some bad habits based on what happened in week 1, 2, 3, 4, and onward. So to me, this just, it kind of hits the nail on the head and that they are very self-aware of what they need to work on. It's the footwork. It's the lower body mechanics, letting the sloppiness kind of get away from him. Bad habits creep into the process for him as a quarterback. Just really, really good news all around in terms of not only the injury timeline, but also the self-awareness on what needs improving this offseason.
And that's one of the things that we talked about with Cam Ward as a prospect throughout his college journey was he showed a very important ability that, you know, you and I both agree is like the best ability that a prospect can show is the ability to improve and to show that you haven't like peaked or hit your ceiling in college and that you're the best parts of your game are still to come. And I think we saw that throughout the season with Cam Ward, looking at the splits pre-bye, post-bye, 5 touchdowns, 6 interceptions before the bye, 10 touchdowns, 1 interception after the bye. Like he clearly showed that ability to improve throughout the course of the season. And then you hit the offseason and with his mentality and his desire for greatness and all the stuff we hear about his work ethic, it's no surprise that he wants to immediately go correct the other few lingering things that were bad habits. It's great to hear that Daryl Culbert, who obviously has no ties or connection or relation to his actual coaching staff that Cam Ward is going to be coached by during the season, sees things the same way and understands that the footwork and the base and those habits need to be corrected. So it's great to hear that he's progressing in that regard. I'm excited to see what happens next, getting into Brian Daboll's system. And we're going to talk about what Brian Daboll said at his press conference and his relationship with Cam Ward in just a second. But I do think that Cam Ward is in a position to more or less pick up where he left off at the end of last season, close the year with 4 straight 2-touchdown games before obviously getting hurt on the first drive of the last game. Interception in the...
Right? He ran for a touchdown in that game when he got hurt.
Right, yeah. On the play he got hurt, he was running it into the end zone and got pile driven in what seemed sort of like a dirty hit, but you know we don't need to relitigate that whole thing. No interceptions in his last 4 games of the season. Technically, like it's hard to say that the last game of the season, no interceptions because he only played again 1 drive, but started that game really well. 3 for 3 for 52 yards passing on that drive and then runs in the touchdown. So yes, like can he pick up where he left off? was it, because the injury when it happened was like such a heartbreaker at that moment after such a good rookie season, playing every single snap at the quarterback position, the only quarterback in the league to do so to that point. And then he gets hurt and you wonder, like, is he going to be able to work on what he needs to work on this offseason? Is this shoulder injury going to linger into next year if he doesn't get surgery? It sounds like we don't need to be concerned about any of those things right now. Obviously, anything can change. One bad hit can, you know, reopen some questions. But as of this moment, I feel really good about where Cam Ward's at, and mostly just like excited for these next 7 months to pass so we can watch this guy play football again.
Yeah, same here. Again, I hope we get more updates, whether it's Cam Wolf, someone else. Like, once he starts actually throwing the football in a couple of weeks, love to hear how that shoulder is feeling. And again, the type of velocity he's generating on that ball. I know no simulation for getting hit, but I think he'll have, you know, a pretty good indication of where that shoulder is at once he's throwing the ball.
Yeah, totally. So that's where Cam Ward is at. We're going to talk about Cam Ward and Brian Daboll's relationship and something else that Cameron Wolf said on the other side of this break. Stay right there.
The next thing is Brian Daboll, the offensive coordinator. I'm told Cam Ward is very excited to work with him. He believes he's going to allow him to be the playmaker he was in college. He saw what he did with Josh Allen. And one thing I was told about Daboll and Ward, they had a really good relationship in the pre-draft process last year. And so Daboll was Ward's number one choice once they were trying to figure out offensive coordinators. Daboll also tried very hard when he was the Giants head coach to trade up and get Ward. And so those two get to work together and show off those playmaking ability. One thing Colbert told me was they want to work with Ward on taking the easy throw, taking the five-yard throw sometimes that he got away from last year. They think that will help him in year two.
So two interesting things there. A lot of that was information that we already know. The Giants tried really hard to trade up for Cam Ward during last year's draft. Brian Daboll and Cam Ward had a bunch of touch points leading up to that draft between the combine, the private workouts, a 30 visit, dinner in Miami, all the same things that the Titans did pretty much when they were trying to make sure that Cam Ward was their guy. The Giants did the same thing. We knew all of that. But because Cam Wolf talked to Daryl Colbert, he got Cam Ward's side of this, which nobody's really reported on and we haven't really heard at all, really. So to hear that Brian Daboll was Cam Ward's top choice for offensive coordinator and that Cam Ward looked at what Brian Daboll did with Josh Allen and the playmaker that Josh Allen has developed into and that he developed into during his time under Daboll, it's really interesting to me. I don't think it's why they picked Brian Daboll. Like, we all were hoping they would pick Brian Daboll and that Brian Daboll really would pick them. Like, that was more of the concern, is does Brian Daboll have another opportunity he likes more? And we'll talk about what Daboll said in his press conference, which, you know, was last Wednesday. Justin and I, a little late to react to this, but we have this Cam Ward nugget that we get to tack on top of it. So it worked out kind of well for our conversation, actually. But that Daboll was Cam Ward's top choice for offensive coordinator, I think that's a great sign. I mean, obviously, you want your quarterback to be on the same page with his coaching staff. You need the quarterback and offensive coordinator to have a good working relationship. But to hear that he was his top choice just adds more excitement to, I can't wait to see what this offense looks like next year.
Yeah, I feel the same way. It's interesting to get that nugget, right? How much Cam Ward is excited about working with Brian Daboll, because we had it on really good account that the opposite was true, right? That Brian Daboll is really excited to work with Cam Ward. A lot of that stuff wasn't new information, and it's also not made up fluff. We know the New York Giants tried like hell to trade up to number one overall. They offered the farm. In fact, you remember on draft night, GM Joe Shane called the Titans one final time, kind of like, haha, I'm only joking if you are, you know, like, oh, we're still willing to trade for this pick if you want to make a last minute deal, like, just kind of knowing you didn't stand a chance, but you don't lose nothing by asking and trying, right? So tells you how infatuated the New York Giants were with Cam Ward. And as the head coach, as the offensive-minded head coach, I get the impression Brian Daboll was driving the bus on that, right? Like, Joe Shane was acting on the request of his head coach. Like, we really want to try to get this quarterback in here. So, and Daboll, I don't think it's a spoiler alert, like, Daboll really reiterated that throughout the press conference. He talked about everything you mentioned. We had great, you know, pre-draft dinners and private visits and combine formal interviews and all this sort of stuff that they did with Cam Ward, as you said, just as much as the Titans did with him. And they loved him. And I you know, you won't convince me otherwise that you know, Cam Ward is the main reason that Brian Daboll's, you know, agreed to take this job.
And I think it's further, like, I'm not sure the exact word I'm looking for, but it's like further confirmation or further encouragement that Cam Ward is that guy that we thought he was. Because sure. Brian Daboll can be enamored with him, but if Joe Shane's like, feels strongly like, look, I think you might be wrong, Joe Shane's not going to stake his entire reputation on trying to trade however many assets it would have taken to trade to come up and get that pick, unless he also has the conviction that Cam Ward can be that dude. And the fact that Daboll watched Cam Ward's entire rookie season, and he said in his press conference, he evaluated him at Washington State, evaluated his Miami tape, and evaluated his entire rookie season, that he didn't come out of last year thinking like, oh, maybe we got it wrong and Cam Ward is not that guy that we thought he was. No, he watched his rookie year and was like, yes, this is the quarterback that I was expecting to see in the National Football League based on what my evaluation. And now that I have a chance to coach him, I really want to coach him. And I'm going to come take this job to coach him. So all of that stuff, super encouraging. The other interesting nugget reported by Cam Wolf there is that Darrell Colbert is working with Ward to take those 5-yard completions more often, not always be hunting for the big play, something that we heard a lot about with him coming out of Miami. Like, one of his weaknesses is he's always hunting for the big play, which can be a strength, but it's a sort of a double-edged sword there, because the flip side of that is turnovers or passing up on easy completions. And I think we saw down the stretch last year, Cam Ward really did start to take those easy completions more often and was more willing to get quickly to his check down and come off those downfield reads. It sounds like that's not going to change much going into next year, that's still going to be a point of emphasis for him, that it's not just the coaching staff and like the inept coaching staff that the Titans had last season preaching this to him. It's also coming from his private quarterback coach. It's probably also going to be coming from Brian Daboll and Robert Saleh. So all that good news, and interesting to hear that that's the kind of thing that he's working on from a mental standpoint, is like getting through those reads quickly, getting the ball to his playmakers in space. It's important for the Titans to add more guys who can make plays in space so that when he does get take those easy completions, they don't just go for 5-yard gains, but maybe you slip a tackle and it becomes an explosive play. So all good signs, all good news on where Cam Ward is at in his recovery, in his development, and his relationship with Brian Daboll. If you had something on the 5-yard completion thing, hit it, and then we'll talk more about what Daboll said in his opening press conference.
No, I mean, I just think part of maturing as a sophomore quarterback, and you know, specifically to Cam Ward and how he played this past year, is, you know, taking what the defense gives him a little bit more often, right? Not always big play hunting, I think, as we like to call it. And we know Cam Ward's a big play hunter, no doubt about it. And he created magic so many times, you know, for the Titans this past year off script, you know, using his legs, extending the pocket and all of that. But I had a great story a couple weeks ago with Matt Hasselbeck, who I interviewed for Titans Eyes, and asked him about Cam Ward. And he flat out said, you know, like a lot of what he did, but, and there was the but, you know, perked my ears up right away, as a pretty successful former quarterback. Quarterbacks who, you know, play longest in this league have most success. You know, read defenses, take what they give you, and just kind of hit the routine plays. And I think that'll probably be one of the challenges for Cam Ward moving forward.
Yeah, hit those routine plays, make the down-to-down consistency happen, and sprinkle in the magic as opposed to sprinkling the magic with down-to-down inconsistent. Yeah, exactly. Yes. Keep the offense on schedule. That's the number one job of the quarterback. And Brian Daboll talked about, you know, the quarterback being a very difficult position to play in the National Football League. He was asked about, what is there anything you can take from what you did with Josh Allen? You know, that's one of the biggest success stories in terms of like quarterback development, like anything you learned from working with Josh Allen that you can apply to Cam Ward. And this is going to be hypocritical, Justin, but let me get through it. I like where Brian Daboll went with this. First of all, Brian Daboll in this press conference carries himself like a head coach. As a guy who's been a head coach for the past 4 seasons going into this next year, it makes sense that he would carry himself with this presence of a head coach, the intelligence, answering questions with the media and how to handle them. He was already like relationship building with the Nashville media there, like making jokes with Paul Kaharsky about having his own website. And there was one moment where he did a little like drum roll thing, like, ba-da-tsh, like, making a joke in the press conference and having a good time and like remembering people's names. Cause you know, they go around and like, oh, Buck Rising with A to Z Sports with the first question here. And then like Paul Kaharsky had asked a question and he came back for a second question and he's like, yeah, Paul, like he shows that he remembers your name as like a, like that's a good person relationship building thing to do. So I like the way Daboll carried himself, but along with all of that is the coach speak side of it. And we've all become very accustomed, I think, over, you know, 2024, 2025, Brian Callahan giving these very honest, almost maybe sometimes too honest. And I remember saying, like, during that first year with Callahan, I remember saying to you that maybe he's like revealing more than he really needs to or should. And I appreciate it. Like, I appreciate all the honest, like, transparency we're getting from him, but he doesn't, like, he can also keep this stuff close to the vest, and like, maybe he should be more. And that's maybe part of him maturing as a coach in the National Football League. But Dable has it down, the coach speak thing, where he gives you an answer that gives you enough to go write your story with a quote, but it's not really telling you much. All that to say, he's answering the Josh Allen question and says, like, well, everybody's different. And the number one thing I need to do with Cam Ward is build a relationship. And that's where it starts. And once we have that relationship and I can see things through his eyes and like ask him why he, like, I can be watching tape and think he made a mistake. But then when I talk to him about it, he might have a really good explanation for what he saw somewhere else that led him to that decision. And so I need to see things through his eyes before I can really comment on how I'm going to develop him as a player and as a human. And that's so different from the Brian Callahan thing, right? And this is where it gets hypocritical, because we loved that Brian Callahan was going to take what he did with Joe Burrow and apply it the same way to Cam Ward. And like, we're going to use the college concepts because it worked really well for Joe to like use some of those same concepts in our Cincinnati offense. And like, we're going to look at the blueprint. We're going to go back and watch our Zooms from 2020 with what we, how we developed Joe Burrow, and try to apply that to Cam Ward. And so like, we liked all that at the time, but obviously Brian Callahan proved to be a disaster, and maybe now we can reevaluate. So maybe it's not hypocritical. It's just an evolution of opinion and thought to get to the point where Brian Dable's not like, oh yeah, I did this with Josh Allen and I just worked with Jackson Dart, and I'm going to take those same philosophies and apply them to Cam Ward. No, he said, everybody's different. Everybody ticks a little differently. I need to learn what makes him tick, and then I can learn the best way to coach him up. And that kind of like, it was a little bit of an eye-opening moment for me. That's like, wow, maybe that actually is better than just trying to rerun the same formula that you use with a completely different human person. You know what I mean?
Absolutely. And I thought, you know, a lot of his answers, you talked about the coach speak. Like, I think as soon as someone brought up the word scheme, he kind of cringed. He's like, it's February. We're not talking scheme. We're building relationships. We're figuring out who these players are and figuring out what makes them work. I mean, listen, yeah, you know, Callahan's answer last year, in theory, sounds exciting, right? Like, what I did with Joe Burrow, I'm going to, you know, I'm obviously exaggerating, but put a blindfold on and just kind of copy it because it worked so well and made Joe Burrow an MVP candidate. But just gets not all that practical, right? Like you said, different strokes for different folks. And I like the way Cam Ward looked last season, but obviously he also got better after Brian Callahan left. So I think the mature answer is, you know, going back to that theme, that Brian Dable understands no two quarterbacks are exactly alike and he's got to approach them differently.
Yeah. So that was a big takeaway for me that I think kind of went under mentioned across the Titans landscape. A lot of things did get over mentioned, so we're not going to linger too long on Brian Dable, especially because this was last Wednesday, but a couple other little points I wanted to hit. He did make another joke at one point. He was like, I told Randy that I would let you guys all know this, that I took this job exclusively because Randy Jordan is the running backs coach. And it was like, I don't know when or where they worked together or where this came from, but I thought it was a very funny moment in the press conference.
I'm going to guess I don't think they ever worked together. They've already met here in Tennessee, obviously. So I'm going to guess Randy Jordan said that and thinking, he won't actually say it in the presser. And he went out.
Right.
Just honestly, I think the impression is it was kind of useless, obviously, but like two just, you know, dumb bros having fun kind of thing. Like, right. I'll say it. You know, like, I'll
and
say
it's
it.
Fun. It's great to see like this staff that has a lot of people who have worked together before, but there are the odd men out who've worked with somebody else, but they haven't worked with Dable or whatever. And it's nice to see like this camaraderie building already. You know, Dable's talking about when you're taking over a new team and installing a new, like trying to turn things around. Like there are a lot of late nights in the office in the off season. And like, we're doing that right now. We're going through everything and talked about how he thinks Luke Stalker is a really bright young coach and he likes him a lot. And we've talked about how we feel the same way about Stalker. And it's like, Stalker's already making an impression on his new boss, essentially, because that's what it is. And like, it's nice to hear these things. And then Dable's talking about like, to the question that Paul asked, like, how do you, what problems are offenses trying to solve against defenses in the modern 2026 NFL Football League? Brian Daboll says, like, well, the biggest thing is that when you need to pass, like when you need to pass and the defense knows a pass is coming, you need to be able to pass. And when they know a run is coming, you still need to be able to run. Like, you still, like, there's a lot of misdirection and a lot of that. But like, when at the end of the day, when it's third and long and you need to complete a 9-yard pass, you got to do it. And when it's fourth and goal and you need to get an inch, you got to do it. And so he talked about, like, he said, even this morning, we were rewatching some of the short yardage runs and just like pointing out little details. And he didn't say pointing out little details they were doing wrong and not executing the short yardage. But that was the implication that I took from it, was like, where do we need to correct why these short yardage runs aren't working? And like, what are the details of the execution that are being missed? And it's something that you and I harped on all throughout the season. And really Callahan's whole tenure was like, the details just don't seem to be there. And so one of my big takeaways from this presser was that Brian Daboll is going to bring that attention to detail to this offense. And it really is one of those little things that make a big difference in a game of inches. You hear that all the time. Yep. Like, the team that is more honed in on executing those tiny details is going to be the team that is more successful more often than not. So getting the guy in the building now who's done this for years and years as an offensive coordinator, the perspective of being a head coach, to now be the one steering this offensive ship, I think, like, it's optimism season. Everything that happens around this team from now to August and even the beginning of September is going to be seen through an optimistic lens. That's part of why we love football, is the one-year turnarounds happen all the time, and there's always, like, hope for your team in the offseason. So that grain of salt acknowledged, this really does feel like the Titans are moving in the right direction now with the hires that they've made. And I think it is an exciting time to be a Titans fan, and I think, like, everything that Brian Daboll said at his press conference, including
tighten up, as they say,
made me feel better about him as the Titans offensive coordinator.
No doubt about it. Great sound bite there. A new sound bite for the Music City Audible. Tighten up, as they say. No, I mean, look, did he win the press conference? Sure. Do I think it's a home run hire? Absolutely. Really excited to see Brian Daboll, coach Cam Ward, and this Titans offense in 2026. Why don't we take one more break and then get to Gus Bradley in the defense.
All right, welcome back. We're talking about Gus Bradley now. The Titans' new defensive coordinator spoke to the media for the first time on Wednesday. And look, I'll just be blunt about this, Justin. I don't care as much about what Gus Bradley has to say as I did about what Brian Daboll had to say. And it's not because I don't like Gus Bradley or anything like that, but it's the same reason that I cared more about what Denard Wilson had to say under the last regime than when Nick Holtz was speaking. It's because Robert Saleh is calling the plays on defense, and Gus Bradley may have the defensive coordinator title and Robert Saleh is the head coach, but let's be real. Robert Saleh is the defensive coordinator and Gus Bradley's like a high ranking assistant head coach of the defense type of, like, you know what I mean? So what Gus Bradley had to say at the podium, certainly interesting and certainly worth listening to, not quite as meaningful as, you know, the guy on the other side of the ball who's running things on that side of the ball. However, I think the big thing that came out of this, like, there's a few little sound bites that we're gonna play one, we're gonna talk about another, that are more interesting than the rest of the press conference, because Gus Bradley also has time as a head coach in this league. Also very good at saying nothing while putting a lot of words out and giving the reporters the quote they need to write a story, but not revealing anything real, right? The one thing that I think, especially Titans Twitter, but like people coming out of the press conference sort of took and ran with, was when he was asked what his ideal edge rusher prototype, like from a physical standpoint and a skill set standpoint, what does that guy look like? And here's how Gus Bradley described his typical edge rusher.
You know, I think that one end is maybe an end on first and second down, and then might have the ability to slide inside on third down, where the other end is maybe a true rusher. You know, he's on the end, first or edge, first and second down, and third down as well.
Hand in the dirt most of the time.
You know, that's what we're looking at, all those things right now. What's the best for our personnel? And, you know, we're in the beginning stages of just looking at that big picture.
So I'll first comment on the second part there, which is exactly what you want to hear from any coach in the league of any position group or any side of the ball are you going to run a hand in the dirt, like traditional 4-3 look? And it's like, well, we're going to figure that out based on who's out there. Like, if it's Harold Landry's out there and Harold Landry's better as a stand-up rusher, being able to build up his speed from a two-point stance, we're not going to make him put his hand in the dirt, right? But if we have Jeffrey Simmons rushing from the end. Jeffrey Simmons is going to put his hand in the dirt because he's more comfortable. Like, I love that that was part of the answer. That's a very small part, but it is sort of indicative of what these guys are going to do, and that they are more or less going to preach what they say when it comes to, we're going to put these players in the position that makes them successful versus trying to jam them into our scheme or whatever. The other part, the part that everyone took and ran with, was, oh, Gus Bradley just described his ideal defensive end, and it doesn't really sound like David Bailey. And I listened to the press conference trying to find the quote that everyone's running with to say that it doesn't really sound like David Bailey. Because, and this is it, like, this is the quote. Like, I don't really think it doesn't sound like David Bailey. Now, sure, the first part sounds like Reuben Bain, maybe, a guy who can stick out there at edge on first and second down and be a really strong run stopper and maybe slide inside to rush from the inside on third downs. Like, yeah, that does kind of sound like Reuben Bain. But the second part of it, the other end, is a guy who can be out there as a pure rusher, a guy who can play out there on first and second down, of course, but who on third down is going to stay out wide and really get after the quarterback. Well, that does sound like David Bailey to me. So I don't know, really. I think people overreacted a lot to this comment. I certainly don't think Gus Bradley's going to get up here and give you a cryptic wink, wink answer like, I'm describing who we're going to draft at number four overall if you're paying attention. Like, no, that's not what's happening. He's not doing that on purpose, for sure. He's not doing that on accident either. He's describing his prototypical look in a defense, and he's going to go draft the players or add the players in free agency that are available, and then they'll see where they fit. The prototypical edge rusher might not exist right now in this cycle of player acquisition. Maybe it does. I don't know. But I really don't. I think that anyone taking this and running with it, like, well, it sounds like the Titans really like Reuben Bain, like, you're overreacting and reading way too much into a coach speak press conference answer, in my opinion. I'm curious if you feel the same.
Yeah, no, I tend to agree. I mean, it just sounds like he likes a balanced defensive line. You want maybe one guy who's really good on early downs and can stop the run, and maybe you want another guy opposite him that's really good at rushing the passer and can pin his ears back. Like, that's, you're right. One of them's Reuben Bain. One of them's David Bailey. They're only going to have an opportunity to draft one of them, you know, more obviously. And they might draft someone else, but obviously it's only going to be one of those guys if it's between the two. And, you know, free agency, same thing. I mean, I do think you weren't saying this, but they'll be very aware of what's available in free agency, and they'll have an evaluation of how those guys fit this defense. In fact, a bunch of the guys available, they've coached, right? Like, Gus Bradley coached Quiddy Pay for a number of years and will have a great idea of how he fits this defense. Aaron Whitecotton and Robert Saleh coached John Franklin Myers, who, by the way, over the weekend left an Instagram comment on new D-line coach Tanzel Smart's announcement. He played with Tanzel Smart with the Jets, and they were both coached by Robert Saleh and Aaron Whitecotton. And now Tanzel Smart's been hired by Robert Saleh to come be like an assistant D-line coach here in Tennessee. And the point I'm getting at is guys like Quiddy Pay, John Franklin Myers, Gus Bradley, Robert Saleh, Aaron Whitecotton, Tanzel Smart to a degree, they'll have great ideas on how these potential free agent targets fit this defense, the exact definition that Gus Bradley just gave you when he's talking about how he likes to deploy his defensive linemen. So they'll have really good evaluations on some of these available players, and they'll know exactly how they fit before they, you know, decide whether or not to pursue them in free agency.
Yeah, I'm glad you mentioned that. I was going to get to that. The Titans have hired a new assistant D-line coach because Travis Smith, the pass rush specialist, was hired away for, I guess, a better job somewhere else over the last week or so, and Titans had to replace him, so they went and hired...
I'm sorry, I was just saying it was random. It was random.
Yeah, it was random, but it happened, and so he's gone, and now they've hired Tanzel Smart, who, like, I remember when Tanzel Smart was coming out of the draft, and, like, his, like, calling card was a nasty spin move, and I remember, like, just like liking him as a prospect.
That's
way
crazy
back
that
when.
You remember that, because I gotta be honest, I don't, and I'm such an NFL draft nerd, but I can't remember all these 6th, 7th round picks that end up doing nothing, to be honest with you, right?
Because his name is Tanzel, and there were people making comparisons with his spin move to the Tasmanian Devil. And like Tanzel and Tasmanian, like the T's and the Z's and this like similar sounding words there. Like I don't know why it's stuck in my brain. I remember that. Anyway, yes, you mentioned the connections. He also coached his first time as an NFL, like transitioning to an NFL coach, was last season with the Dallas Cowboys under Aaron Whitecotton, which is just another.
Dave Borgonzi was on that staff as well. So some familiarity throughout the defensive position coaches.
Right. And it's unclear when John Franklin Myers, who is a free agent defensive lineman that will probably be on the Titans shortlist of guys they go after this coming cycle here in a few weeks, did comment on Tanzel Smart's Instagram post where he's like celebrating his like hire in Tennessee. It's unclear if this is John Franklin Myers celebrating alongside a former teammate who's excited for this next opportunity to become a coach.
I'll stop you right there. I mean, he commented, "You thinking what I'm thinking?" I mean, it was definitely a pitch to be like, let's do this in Tennessee together.
So, okay, a lot of people are reading into that. We don't know if the money will work or what, but I do think like...
If you were congratulating him, you wouldn't say you're thinking what I'm thinking.
I think that is that might be more of like a wink, wink, nod thing than like, of course, I just talked about Gus Bradley's not doing that. Yeah, I'm just not going to assume anything from one Instagram post. And I get what you're saying, too. This is going to be a guy I think we need to do like an episode where we literally talk for 15 minutes about what John Franklin Myers brings to the Titans. And maybe it's an emergency pod on March 14th, or maybe we do something in the next couple weeks where we break down what he would bring to the Titans if they pursued him. But all that to say, I think that both of these introductory press conferences, I was waiting like weeks for them to announce that this was happening because other teams who made their hires around the same time or after the Titans had already done these pressers with introducing their coordinators. I'm like, when are the Titans going to do this? They finally did it last week. I liked basically everything I heard. The last thing on the Gus Bradley conversation, the last comment that stood out to me was about Tavondre Sweat. And I think this was a really interesting comment because the question was, how do you see Tavondre Sweat's role on this team? You know, and his answer wasn't about how he sees Tavondre Sweat's role on this team or like how he fits into the defensive alignment, the front of the defense and the 4-3 or the sub package, you know, rushing downs or whatever. It wasn't about like, oh yeah, I think he can play nose tech or zero tech, one tech. Like that wasn't the answer he gave, which is really weird. He instead said, I've always believed that when you come into a new situation, the previous staff has done a good job. Our job is to build on that and give guys a fresh start and base your opinion off that. That's an interesting answer. Why do you need to give guys a fresh start if the question's not about like, oh, was Tavondre Sweat falling out of favor with the previous coaching staff? And like, there's a lot of rumors and speculation that he doesn't fit what Saleh has traditionally liked in a defensive tackle. Like, if that had been the question, then maybe this answer would apply. Or if his answer had been about like, oh yeah, he's a great nose tackle, space eater up front, then maybe the answer would apply. But the fact that the question was what it was and the answer was what it was makes me think that there have been conversations since Gus Bradley took this job with Mike Borgonzi or like big meetings, you know, where they're going over the roster. And like they mentioned like some concerns maybe they have off field wise with Tavondre Sweat, like whether it's like work habits or like attentiveness in meetings or like off season, like keeping his body right and like trying to make those improvements to get to the next level as a player. And we know that Tavondre Sweat has been like hounding Jeffrey Simmons to get to Dallas with him and work out and like wanted to book this Airbnb. And Jeffrey Simmons told this story on the radio during Super Bowl week about how he's like out to dinner on a date or something, or out to dinner for some reason. And Tavondre Sweat's like calling him all throughout dinner and finally like calls. Jeffrey Simmons said he called my second cell phone, which is like, you have a second cell phone? Okay. which I guess like maybe he doesn't give that number out to everybody, or maybe it's for emergencies or who knows. It just like, and Jeff picks up the phone because he's like calling the emergency line basically. And he's like, what? Is everything okay? And Tavondre Sweat's like, yeah, man, I'm trying to book this Airbnb. Like I need to know like what's the date and what's the location or whatever. And it's like, he's that into wanting to go work with Jeff and wanting to get himself right. So the fresh start approach, like maybe he's taking the fresh start as a fresh start and is going to like really put in the work now. And we don't really know what's happened behind the scenes. We've just heard these little rumblings that maybe the character stuff doesn't line up with what Mike Borgonzi is looking to build in this locker room. Some of the Jarvis Brownlee-ishness to it and some of the off-field concerns we heard way back during the pre-draft process for Tavondre Sweat, that after the Titans picked him, we sort of said, no, you're all wrong. And we wrote it off, right? And he had a great rookie year, right? And he was better as a pass rusher last year than people give him credit for. And he did a good job like filling his role on the defense, but he needs to, again, continue taking those steps. Anyway, long spiel by me all to say that interesting answer from Gus Bradley about Tavondre Sweat there.
Yeah, I thought so as well. And fresh start, equal opportunity for everyone. It's on Tavondre Sweat to make the most of this and build an initial good relationship with the staff, really commit himself this offseason. TBD, it's on him. Why don't we close the show out with what the Titans may or may not be teasing in the local certainly this is a tease in the local Nashville area.
So earlier on Monday, this picture was posted to Twitter by @NoahDDizzle of a billboard in Nashville that just has this sort of out of focus, kind of mysterious image with the three stars. It's very pure blue with three dark navy stars in that Tennessee like state flag shape with a date on this billboard, March 12th, 2026. Titans have not announced anything formally. The Titans are doing a subtle, big market, like billboard style campaign to tease out whatever this announcement's going to be. And now I went and I took this image and, you know, on my phone, pinch zoomed it in real close, like looking at the detail of these stars. And I noticed that, like, there are lines, like thread lines and fabric. Like, this is very clearly a fabric. It looks a hell of a lot like a uniform, an NFL jersey, like the shoulder part maybe of a jersey. That it's pretty clear to me that the tease here is some kind of uniform reveal. And what's most interesting is this doesn't look anything like all the mock-ups we've been seeing Titans fans put together that we're all like, this is sexy, this is awesome, these uniforms would be fire, with the red and the Columbia blue of the Oilers colors and reimagined for a modern era in Tennessee and Nashville. Which makes you wonder, like, has everyone just been way off? Is that not really what the uniforms are going to look like? Or there's a secondary theory that Paul Kaharsky mentioned, you mentioned to me right before we started recording, that this maybe is not those uniforms?
Yeah, I think there's a good chance this is the Nike rivalries. We talked about it on our uniform episode with Zach Cohen. It's been known for a while now the Titans are getting these rivalry jerseys. It was like kind of a initiative by Nike that's meant to sell more jerseys, in my opinion. And they did it last year with like the NFC West, I think it was, Seahawks, Cardinals, Rams. This year, it's AFC South's turn. You're getting these rivalry jerseys. I have a feeling they're going to drop that first and that's what this is. And it'll be, potentially quite different from what the new full-blown uniforms are going to look like. I think this is the Nike rivalry jersey.
So I am not listening to 104.5 The Zone right now because I'm recording a podcast with you. But this was literally just tweeted. And I'm just like looking at Twitter to see if I can find anything else about these uniforms. Sideline Titans, an account that I don't particularly know, but appreciate that I'm going to hit follow right now. I'm doing this live, folks. They have 28 followers. Go follow them. @SSN_Titans_. They just tweeted, just confirmed on 104.5 The Zone and Buck Rising that this is in fact uniform release date. Season ticket members could have details in their email this week detailing the review. Justin, I think we stick a pin in this. We had to talk about the billboard because it came out this morning. Let's stick a pin in this today. Wait for this further information that's going to be revealed to season ticket members. I'm sure there'll be screenshots posted all over Twitter whenever the email lands in the inboxes. And we'll have a more fleshed out conversation on this show at that time. What do you say?
Absolutely. We know this is definitely uniform related, though, one way or another. I mean, you can just say it's a jersey. It's the fabric, the shoulder crease. Like, it's definitely a jersey. March 12th. I already can't wait.
Same. And that'll do it for this episode of the Music City Audible. Thanks to everyone for tuning in. If you're just listening to us on our audio platforms, we really appreciate you. If you're watching along on YouTube, make sure you hit that subscribe button, like this video, and drop your thoughts in the comments below. What do you think of Cam Ward's recovery timeline? What did you think of Brian Daboll and Gus Bradley's introductory press conferences? And what do you think this billboard tease is really all about? Let us know in the comments. We'll be back tomorrow to talk more Titans. So until then, y'all stay safe out there and tighten up.
A Broadway Sports Media production.